We are thrilled to have our friend Bob McKay from the country of Georgia stop by this week and share with us. I'm going to turn it right over to Bob. Thanks for being here and bringing a message of hope and a report of what God is doing in that country.
Thanks, Pastor. It is wonderful to be here. I wish that more people were here. Of course, we live in obscure times, difficult times, but nevertheless, it is an honor to be here at Maranatha and to address you this way and to give you a report because we are partners in the kingdom of God together. I consider you to be my partners, not just supporters or people who give or pray once in a while. So that means we share in all the good things that happen in this world, and we also share in some of the difficult things. But I come to give you a good report. It's been about 7 years since I've been home. I'm living in Ironwood now, so it was a beautiful drive over here. Even if it was minus one this morning on the first day of spring, it's beautiful to be here, and it's wonderful to serve the Lord. And I believe with you and with Pastor and that these are great times to be alive. And we know Jesus Christ, and this is the time for the church to shine, to be the light and the salt that God has called us to be. And many of you have probably been praying for revival. I think this may be the very thing that we need, that will turn things around for us in the church in America. But before I give you a report, I wanted to read just a stanza from a hymn that we used to sing to remind us that our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. And we're not given to a spirit of fear. I know Pastor mentioned this verse about that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and sound mind. And the same, it was called in times like these. And the last verse says, it says, in times like these, I have a Savior. And in times like these, I have an anchor. So be very sure, be very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he is the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. So that is our prayer, that your rock will be Jesus Christ. And we have no fear when Jesus is truly our Savior and we are followers of Christ. Unfortunately, many of our churches have a lot of admirers of Jesus. I was once an admirer of Jesus, and we admire the things he did. We may admire the death that he died or the resurrection that we'll be celebrating soon. But if we're not followers of Christ, if we don't belong to him, we cannot put that anchor. We cannot fasten that anchor in Jesus Christ. So please, let us put our hope in Jesus Christ. So it is, like I said, it's an honor for me to be your partner. You have supported me ever since I've been on the mission field, which has been well over 20 years now. And when I first went there, there were desperate times then. There was a lot of suffering, a lot of ignorance, a lot of persecution. I can say when I first went there that they were wonderful times and difficult times at the same time. And you supported me in prayer and allowed me to be there. Without your giving, I could not have been there. When I first came to Ukraine, I came there and there was nothing really. The Assemblies of God came about 25 years ago, and we asked the churches, what do you want? After 70 years of communism, they all said the same thing, the leaders of the church. They said, we need biblical training. We need discipleship. We need teaching because we've never had the opportunity to have any of these avenues of training or teaching to equip us to lead the church. So we started 8 Bible colleges across the former Soviet Union in the capital cities of these countries. There were 15 countries, but we had one Bible college in Central Asia. We started a seminary in Kiev, Ukraine, which is going to celebrate its 20th anniversary this coming year. In fact, your own Dr. Howard Young has gone there and taught in their Doctor of Ministry program to many of the key leaders in the Russian-speaking world. But God has done so much over that period of time. The church has grown by at least 10 times as much in Ukraine. We now have, instead of one Bible college, we have 28 regional Bible schools, one in each district. They call it an oblast, like a very large county. We have the church in Russia has grown by at least 20 to 30 times as much. And I was at the seminary in Ukraine and traveling in schools for 10 years. And fortunately, I did what I hope is the dream of every missionary. I worked myself out of a job because we had people who were more qualified than I was to take over for me. And so I was no longer needed in Ukraine and went to the Republic of Georgia. And I have been there for 12 years. I came after the war with Russia in 2008, and times were very desperate there. It was a church that was an underground church that was greatly persecuted by the government and by everybody and his brother. And so when I arrived, there were only two registered churches in the country, Pentecostal churches, and they had just had 30% of their country taken by the Russians. And they had had, before that, previous to that, they had two civil wars. And so we immediately began training, discipling, teaching the leaders of the church, and evangelizing, preaching the gospel where it was never preached before, starting the church where the Church of Jesus Christ never existed. Now we have 140 churches in Georgia, and we have many more to go, of course. You know, we still live in a lost and dying world. People need Jesus. And in Georgia, only 3% of the population is evangelical. So we have hundreds and hundreds of places that have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. We have hundreds of places that have never had a church that preaches the gospel. So that is the future of what is going on in Georgia. We are, of course, now what I have done, I have, like I said, I just came home to Ironwood about 6 months ago. Before that, I had been there almost 6 years before I came back. And just about every day of my life for the last 5 years, I spent most of my time with three young men who radically got saved. They came to Christ at the age of 18. The first one, there were two brothers and a friend. They were hooligans, just street guys, mean people. They would beat up girls on the street, pull their hair, and steal their cell phones and their money. And one of them wandered into a Pentecostal church meeting, a small prayer meeting, and guess what happened to him? Well, he came to Christ. And the other two guys were so distraught that they said, we need to rescue our brother from these crazy people. And of course, when they came in, they also came to the Lord. And within a year, they were being discipled. After 6 months, they were told, you need to start a church. And so all three of these men, before they were 19 years old, all three of them had started three churches in the country of Georgia. And I want to say that you are partly responsible for that. It is your fault for that type of thing happening. So I hope you don't mind being blamed for things like that. And so that is the future. We are here to make disciples of all nations. And so, of course, I appreciate your prayers and your support. And we're just beginning. The work is still enormous to complete the work. But I want to encourage you, especially during these difficult times, and I believe in our country here in America, that more than anything, we need to be true followers of Jesus Christ. And we need to model the life that we have in Christ, because this is what will bring people in. This is what brought them in the early church. This is what's happening around the world. I live in a country where you don't do mass crusades, where you don't have street evangelism. It's all built on relationship. Because of your relationship with Christ, you reaching out to other people and sharing your faith with them, showing them what God has done in your life, and then they come to Christ this way. And so this is how the world is being changed. Even today, I just talked to my friends over there, one of these three guys, and he said they're locked up in their homes. They have been for about a week and a half. They just instituted martial law today in the Republic of Georgia, so people cannot even go out on the street. So that means a lot of these older people, there is no public transportation. Very few of them have cars. So the church has decided that they are going to bring meals to these people. They're going to cook meals. They're going to bring food. And they're going to have to organize to do this because my friends are in a very large church now. And so this is fantastic. When I hope to go back in October and to do the same thing. The next, we started 10 Bible colleges. What we're doing, we're starting 10, well, we want to start up to 30 church-based Bible schools in the country of Georgia so that we can train missionaries and church planters in areas where they've never heard the name of Jesus. So through the discipleship and teaching we've had the last 10 years, I have about 15 incredible teachers that are pastors who will go and teach for me, and I will have these three guys go with me. We will go to a small church, and we'll build a Bible school in the church. Desks, chairs, media equipment, everything, and living quarters. And it usually costs about $2,500 to do this, to build a Bible school, only $2,500. And we will send these 15 men, I'll say, you two, what do you want to teach? And we will have each teacher teach two or three classes, only those two or three classes. and they will become experts, and they will go all across the country, because we need to catch the vision for a lost and dying world. And we need that here. You need that in Kingsford, Iron Mountain. We need this in the UP. We need to have a vision. We need to have a vision for our families, for our neighbors, for the people we work with, for our schools, for our region. Because without a vision, we're not going to do anything. We're going to look through the window and hope that people come to us. And it doesn't work that way. All around the world where people are coming to Christ, it's because we're going out and we're reaching them. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus spent most of his time with unbelievers, and he was criticized for it. But look at what happened. And so in Georgia, we're attempting to do the same thing. When I return in the fall, we're going to go to the city of Gori, which was the city where Joseph Stalin was born and raised. Some of you may know not know that, but Joseph Stalin was Georgian. And he actually went to seminary when he was a young man. He was kicked out of seminary for being a revolutionary. And of course, he's considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, murderer of all time. And I think it's ironic that we're going there. His predecessor, or the man who followed him, Nikita Khrushchev, he made these statements. He said that I will take a picture of myself with the last Christian in the Soviet Union. Aren't you glad that there are millions of Christians in the former Soviet Union now? There are thousands and thousands of churches in Ukraine and Russia across the former Soviet Union. He said, if you want to see a Bible, you're going to have to go to a museum to see one. And since I've been on the field, very few people had Bibles then. The Gideons would put Bibles in the hotels, and people would steal them the first day they were in the hotels. They had to replenish them on a regular basis. But since I've come there over 20 years ago, I read a report that over 100 million Russian Bibles have been printed and distributed, so everyone has the Word of God. So it's incredible what God is doing. We started a church in Gori 3 years ago. I went there with a bullhorn. Some of you know me. I'm a typical UP person that likes to cause trouble and stir the pot. So I said, we're here to start a church in your city, a Pentecostal church. Well, they didn't clap and cheer for us, I can tell you that. They made a lot of hand gestures, which I'm not going to make in this holy place, in this building. And they made a lot of disparaging comments about our relatives and friends. And so, isn't it ironic? We're going to go back there. We have a good church now, and we're going to start a Bible school in the birthplace of one of the great haters of all time and one of the great murderers. So once again, you are partly responsible for that. You are to blame for that. So I covet your prayers, your support. I could not do this without you. And of course, we want to pray for the church around the world during these difficult times, because many of these people who are going through the virus in Europe, as well as here in North America, they're going through much more difficult times than us, because they don't have the access to what they need, to the stores or to the hospitals. I mean, we used to have a saying in Ukraine, you go to the hospital to die and you go home to get well. And so many of these people that will get this virus, it may be that they do not survive. And so it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to be the church and to do what God has called us to do, which is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we can. So once again, thank you so much. Thank you for your love, for your prayers, for your support. And may the Lord draw you closer to himself. I mentioned that I said we need to model Jesus Christ in our lives. And I want to leave you with a scripture verse for you to read later on, a famous passage from Philippians chapter 2. It is called the Song of Christ, where it says, Jesus, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So Jesus did three things, and he modeled this for us. He humbled himself. He depended on God to take care of him. His complete dependence was upon God, and this is our model. We need to completely depend upon Jesus Christ. So he humbled himself. He became obedient. He did the Father's will. The Lord will call you to do things, many things, things that he's already told us to do, but he will tell us new things to do. He will give us new ideas. The Holy Spirit will help us. And we need to do those things. We need to be obedient, and we need to make the sacrifice. That's the third thing. To sacrifice, to do whatever is necessary. And because Jesus made the sacrifice, it says that he has now been given the name that it is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven. I'd like to share one story, and I promise I will close. Because a lot of times I think we've been told a story in America that's not true. that everything is about our faith. Your faith has to be so incredible. You need faith to leap over a tall building in a single bound. You need to have faith that runs faster than a speeding locomotive. You may remember who that was said about, but we're not that guy. We are people who depend upon Christ, who depend upon the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when we obey, that is where faith comes from. We obey first, and then the faith comes. It doesn't happen where you believe and then the faith. I can honestly tell you that I've seen tens of thousands of people come to Christ. I've seen hundreds of people healed. We've started many, many churches in many countries, Bible schools. And I can honestly say that very seldom has my faith ever been so sky high that I said, wow, look at Bob's got such tremendous faith. It's because of his faith that this happened. No, it's not. When we go out, we pray, we have intercessors, and we go out when God tells us to go somewhere. And many times we have great opposition. I remember, though, this story I want to tell you because I want to encourage you that we need to obey. We were praying, and the Lord said, go to this city where they never had a church and there are no believers. They proudly exclaimed that they were all atheists. They were former communists, and they hated all religion. They didn't want to see anyone. They didn't want to hear anything. We brought a worship team. We brought children's workers, youth workers, everything, and we came to share the gospel. People met us at the city, the center of the city, some of the people from the Orthodox Church, city officials, police, and, of course, they did all kinds of bad things to us. They called us terrible names. They threw stuff at us. They threw rocks at us. I remember I stood to one side, because I'm older now. I've learned a little bit in my years, you know. I don't stand close to the rock throwing. I get farther away. But the young guys were walking close to where they were throwing rocks, and they said, Brother Bob, they're hitting us with the rocks, and it hurts. I said, they're not throwing rocks at you. They're throwing rocks at Jesus. And they said, well, why does it hurt? And I said, because you're getting in the way. You know, we're trying to hit Jesus, and you're in the way. You got to get out of the way. But we went week after week as we prayed. Every week, the opposition got worse. The mayor would meet us, or the vice mayor, the police, and they'd all say, we hate you people. You know, we think you're a cult. We can't stand you. We despise you. We'll never rent to you. We'll never sell you any property. You'll never have a church in this place. Never. And we came on the eighth week, and I was so discouraged. I was tired. And we get discouraged, and when we get tired, that's when the devil attacks us. And I came out in the road, and I was crying like a baby. And I said, oh, you heard what they said. This is our last weekend here. They said they're never going to give us property. They're never going to have a rent, a place for us to rent. They're never going to let us have a church here. Oh, this is so sad. Look at all the people that came to Christ. Why would this happen? Oh, well, this can't be true. And they were encouraging me. I had four pastors with me. They said, no, Brother Bob, God is going to come through. He's going to do a miracle. I said, oh, no, it's so hopeless here. So we preached, we got done, more people came to Christ, and as we were leaving the village, they were escorting us out. The mayor, who I looked at as an enemy of mine, he said, come over to me, come to my house, I want to talk to you. And, you know, this is another thing I learned. Not just do we obey God when he tells us to go, but I learned that people are never our enemy. You all know this, right? People are never our enemy. Political groups are never our enemy. Groups are never our enemy. People who think differently than us are not our enemy. We only have one enemy. His name is the devil. And people need Jesus Christ just like I do, just like you do. We all need Christ. So the mayor says, come here, I want to talk to you guys before you go. I thought, oh, great, he's going to verbally assault us again. We come into his house. He has a beautiful, like a 2,000-square-foot addition to this mansion he's got. And I said, wow, now we got to listen to him. And he looks at me and he starts to cry, and I'm looking at the four brothers like, what's going on here? He says, you guys don't know this, but last week I went to one of your meetings and I hid behind everybody in the dark. And he said, and I repented. He said, I gave my heart to Christ. I gave my life to Jesus. I became a Christian. And he said, and last night I had a dream, and God told me that I'm supposed to give this new addition of my house as the new Pentecostal church in this city. And when he said that, we all fell on our knees. We started crying. We had our hands in the air. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when I came out of that church, or when I came out of the mayor's house, I wasn't down in the dumps anymore. I came out and I, woohoo! Yeah, baby! We are the champions, my friend. And I'm jumping up and down. I ran out on the street. And I said to the four brothers, come here, I need to make an important declaration. They go, what is it? I said, brothers, I never doubted for a second that we were going to have a church in this city. I never doubted for a second. And they said, oh, yes, Brother Bob, you were the man of faith. Because someone had asked me the question, we heard you were called the man of faith, like George Mueller. I said, no, not like George Mueller. But I say that to say this, that we obey the Lord. I don't care what your level of faith is. I don't care if you don't have enough faith to jump over a dime. If God calls you to do something, you go out and do it. And then when God comes through, that's where your faith increases more and more. So that is my prayer for you, that we will become true followers of Jesus Christ, that our anchor will rest in Jesus Christ, the solid rock. He is the solid rock. That we will follow his example and become more and more like him, that we will be people of humility, people who obey the Lord and people who are willing to make the sacrifice and change our world in these difficult and troubled times. We need the Lord now more than ever before. So thank you so much. Thank you for your love and support. God bless you, and we will see this thing through, and we will be victorious, and the Church of Jesus Christ will prevail, and we'll go on, and this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Amen.